Blog Talk Radio.
Together in the same state, same town, same hotel room.
I was going to say, woman, you know you're good friends when you can share a tube of lipstick. I'm just saying.
Amen. I'm just saying. Yay! So how are you doing? Because you just flew black. You just flew back. To California yesterday afternoon. We set our goodbyes at the airport, the Savannah International Airport, which was very sad, but you had two flights you had to take. How are you doing?
Well, you know, right now I've only been up for about 2 hours, and I'm working on my second cup of coffee, so life is good, and I'm just kind of running on adrenaline, I think. But I am great. I mean, what an amazing weekend we had at the Awaken 2012 conference that you hosted in South Carolina. Oh, my goodness. I talked Robert's ear off from the time we hugged each other, hello, at the baggage claim, to the time we got to the house, and all the things that God did for us and in us and through us. Amazing. Amazing, and all the friendships that he solidified and created this weekend, just beyond what I could ask or think. It was tremendous. And
it was.
We're so glad. And if you weren't there, you know we missed you. There are some people who are feeling a little wistful about it. Who shall we name? Nameless.
Friend. Okay. I won't say her name then.
And you,
I have a feeling I know who you're talking about, though.
Yes, and we certainly do wish she could have been there with us. But we are confident that God has a plan, and one day we're all going to be together. And I have a feeling it's going to be this side of heaven. We're not going to have to wait until we're in heaven to be together, to worship the King of Kings.
I think she just snorted in the chat room. Am I correct?
She did. She did. That's going to be my word for the day, wistful.
I like that word.
I shall be looking for ways to use it.
I shall be looking for ways. You have definitely spent the last 5 days with me. I'm still unpacking, as our friend Joel says, I'm still unpacking everything from the conference. Just, you know, amazed and encouraged, honored, strengthened, wowed, blessed. I mean, there's so many words. Jump.
Yes. I'm a jumper.
I am a jumper. Amen. You know, we talked about jumping into women's ministry, jumping into South Carolina Women's Department. You know, jumping into the things God has done for us and the ways he wants to use us. But really, the main focus was jumping into our relationship with him and focusing on him, which is what we always do here at The Imperfect Wife.
Yes.
I love how God overflows our hearts into every area. Not only, you know, does he do that, that's his heart for me as I leave South Carolina, but it's also his heart for us as we lead The Imperfect Wives. It seems that same. And Renee West was incredible. We are going to have audios, and hopefully we hope to share them here on the Imperfect Wives Radio in the future. But she talked about, you know, Rebecca, the thing that she said that really got my heart, because she was talking about overcoming strongholds and recognizing, you know, the strong man, as she put it. And I love how she said that, because don't you feel like at times when there's a stronghold that you're dealing with, it feels like a strong man has put his arms around you and is holding so tight that you just can't shake free. And that's not it's not a bear hug. It's not a good feeling. And but Renee taught us how to recognize Satan when he moves, recognize his momentum, and stop him. And she told us, jump in, jump into our domain, jump into our dominion, because somebody in our lineage, our parents, great-grandparents, whoever, and in some instances ourselves, we have given Satan dominion over the areas that we're struggling in, meaning we've given him authority to have control. And I like the way you said it the other day, but I'm not sure if you remember how you said it.
I'm sure I don't.
I'm sure, okay. You said it, you coined it so perfectly. But, what an incredible conference. And Vessel, oh my goodness, Vessel led worship for us, and they were so anointed, such an anointed group. And Renee, and then, of course, we had Heather Williams.
Yes, oh my goodness. You know what, Sophia and I have already been dancing to Heather Williams' music this morning. She was up at 5:30 to see me, that precious girl of mine. And, you know, she's 8 now, and it's, you know, Mom, bring me a present. And I brought her back Heather Williams CDs that Heather signed. Oh, my goodness. Talk about making a mom cry. And Sophia opened them up at 5:30 this morning, and, of course, she wanted to listen right away. And we put on Heather Williams' Beautiful Thing, and we were dancing around the dining room.
I can see y'all doing that. That was so cute, because she's pregnant now. And she said, whew, that's the first time I've sang that since before I got pregnant. She said, who wrote that song? Because she was out of breath, but
yes.
You couldn't tell it while she was singing it.
No,
we
couldn't.
Are excited. Yes, no. And we are excited to share that Heather Williams is going to be on The Imperfect Wife very soon.
Woo!
She was talking to us. We had an opportunity to sit down with her. And Heather Williams Music, if you want to Google Heather Williams Music, that'll bring her website right up. She's with Trade Services, I think is what it's called. And she's incredible, has an incredible testimony. But Rebecca and I got an opportunity to sit with her and the founder of Jubilee Market, Liz Glover, for breakfast on Saturday morning before the last session. And what an awe-inspired time. We didn't mean for it to be about marriage, but the whole conversation went to marriage, and they shared their hearts about marriage, and it turns out we all have the same heart. And these ladies are, God is using them in such a powerful way. But anyway, we could talk about the conference for days because it was just so incredibly impactful.
It was. And, there are people who are encouraging me to write down those things, those memories, those precious things that God did for me and for my daughter, through this weekend. And I was doing that on the plane last night, actually, as fast as I could write in my journal, writing. People around me are sleeping because, it's 11, 12 o'clock on the East Coast time. And as I wrote and I filled page after page in my journal, I was just in awe of all that God did. I mean, God didn't just move. I mean, we know this. We know this in our heads. But when you write it down, it's so powerful to see God doesn't just move in the times when you're gathered together corporately in a church building to worship him and to be taught. He is moving all the time. And he moved, he moved every minute of that time that we were together. Whether it was at breakfast, in the hotel restaurant or if it was up in the room laughing at 1 o'clock in the morning at my
snoozing.
Yeah. You know where?
From right where it hurts. Yeah.
Yes, Joanne was there. What a blessing. So, you know, what he was ministering to me last night, Sheree, in the middle of that airplane, was that he is moving all the time, and we don't have to wait for those special occasions where we set aside, you know, we kind of bring life to a grinding halt and set aside special time for him. We need to be aware of his presence at every moment. And, you know, we're not going to be perfect at it. And we're going to forget. I forget sometimes, more times than I would like. But if we are intentional and deliberate about keeping our eyes on him, we can see, you know, him moving in large and small ways throughout our days. And we need to have just a mindset where we are cognizant, we're aware of what he's doing for us and in us and what he's telling us all the time. And I could see that even as I came home, you know, that talking to my guys late last night when we walked in the door and, you know, getting to share. And I could feel excitement building in them as I got to share a little bit about what God did this weekend, you know, that we can we can bring an awareness of the presence of God into any situation. We carry that. We carry him inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside us, and we bring his presence with us in a different way. He's all around us, of course, but when we talk about him, when we lift the name of Jesus up, we change the atmosphere in whatever circumstances we're in.
Sandra, yes, you got the right one. Sandra just posted one of Heather's songs in the chat room. Sorry. I didn't mean to get distracted there. I could tell she was like, oh, look, this is the right one. He did. We saw him move throughout the entire conference. Like you said, we didn't have to be in the sanctuary at Praise Assembly to feel God's presence. We felt him everywhere. You know, and of course, we had like our friend Jennifer White was in our heart the whole time, and we were missing her, and we were missing other key people as well. We weren't just aware of God's presence; we were aware of those that we loved and were not able to be with us. But what a great, incredible time! Yeah. So this morning, Rebecca, we are opening up the phone line.
We are. Woo!
Hopefully, we'll get a phone call.
I think I've shouted now twice in one show. Somebody marked
it.
Have
you really? Yes. You can tell you spent the last few days with me. you can tell I spent the last few days with you. Yesterday or Sunday we took some time and we created some videos for you for the Imperfect Watch. We just want to preface that we are not professionals, and you will see that very quickly.
In case you were confused, we're not professionals.
Not at all. But we hope that you enjoy the videos. We'll have those uploaded today, hopefully, onto YouTube, and we will share them in the club and in other areas. But we definitely had an incredible time together. God really ministered to both of our hearts, and he sealed some things for us and encouraged us and strengthened us for our ministry. There was a word that was spoken over us during the conference, that just moved us to tears, and God just confirmed some things for us, and we're really excited. But for today, you're invited to call in and share your hearts with us. We are going to be talking about the 10 things that you hear us say the most here at The Imperfect Wives. There are 10 areas that commonly come up through the women in our Facebook club. We've got about 600, almost 700 women in our Facebook club. They're either soon to be married, desiring to be married, or they are married. And they ask a lot of questions, and they're really going through some things. And these are when we sat down, or I guess I sat down, and I thought about, you know, what are the 10 things that we are asked the most at The Imperfect Wives? And I created a blog post, And I shared it with Rebecca, and she was like, yep.
Two thumbs up, Cherie, Zach.
Yep. Yep, you're right. Those are the ones. So if you would like to call in and ask some questions and share with us your thoughts, we would so love to hear your voices.
Yeah.
And put you on line. You do not have to say your name if you do not want to, and you can just say, we'll just say, please introduce yourself, and you introduce yourself in any way that you want to, and we will honor that. If you want to share your name, then woo-woot. We will get excited,
yes.
Especially if we already know who you are.
Yes.
So, Rebecca, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Kim just posted the call-in number for you in the chat room. So if you can just dial it right in. So, Rebecca, you want to open us in prayer?
Yes. Okay, if you can, bow your heads and lift your hearts and your hands before the Lord. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you so much. You are amazing. You are beyond our greatest imagination, beyond anything that we could ask or think. You are the one true and living God. And Lord, it is our great privilege to be called your daughters, and we don't take that lightly. We know that it is far more than we deserve. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins, that we could be in relationship with you now, and that we have eternal life starting now, and that we get to fellowship with you forever. Lord, that we are able to always be in your presence because of Jesus. And Lord, we just surrender to you, and we say, have your way in us, Lord, in this time and in this day. Lord, have your way. Mold us and shape us, change us. Make us more and more like Jesus, that we would reflect and allow your glory to flow through us into the lives of those around us, Lord, that you would use us as your hands and your feet, your voice, your instrument to bring hope and healing and encouragement to our husbands, to our families, to our friends and our neighbors and people that we meet in the marketplace, Lord, to our coworkers. Lord, we just ask you to use us as you will. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather together, put aside the busyness of our day, and just focus on you and fellowship with one another. And Lord, we thank you for your word that is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, that it accomplishes your purposes in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you. We surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so let's get started. Rebecca, we have 10 things that we tend to say the most here at The Imperfect Wife.
Yeah, we do. Number one, we're not doing a countdown. Although we could, but we won't.
Although we could, yes.
Number one, husbands always need a safe place to land. Cherie, that is really your phrase, and I've just adopted it. So I love it.
Oh, we pray everyone adopts it. It always be a safe place for your husband to land. Rebecca, can you think of a time in your marriage, that sticks out to you when you really needed to be that safe place for a rock to land?
Oh, absolutely. It's like, okay, pick one. Because let's face it, when men are out in the world and they're working, they are on the front lines of the battle. They are constantly bombarded with the world and the enemy. And they are battle weary some days when they come home, because they have had to pray and they've had to trust God. And, Robert is no different from any other guy out there. Even though he's a chaplain, he faces the same challenges. And The one that really stands out that I haven't really shared before with you all is that he's been passed over for promotion in the Navy, and not just once, but a few times. And, at, you know, that was really hard. That was really hard because he's worked so very hard. He's done everything that the Navy has asked. He's done everything that the Lord has asked. And, you know, when you do that, you expect that blessings are going to come in the form that you think they're going to come. And that first time, Sheree, that he didn't get selected when his name wasn't on the list, that was one of the hardest days of, you know, our lives in recent history in the past few years. And what he needed from me, by God's grace, I was able to give him, which was comfort. I was able to mourn with him, you know, but I was also able to bring comfort and encouragement and speak the word of God to him to remind him of who he was and who he is in Christ, that it doesn't matter what the world says, didn't matter what the Navy said, all that mattered was what God said about him. And that was what he needed to hear. And that was, you know, that was just a really, a time of us drawing closer together and closer to the Lord, where we had to say, you know what, we're not going to look at our circumstances. We're not going to look at all of this that doesn't look good, but we're going to look at God and remember his goodness to us in all these areas for all these years and trust that his plan for us is good, even when the world would say, this doesn't look right. This doesn't look like a good thing. And, you know, he's been very grateful. And, you know, he's a wonderful, godly man. And he's, you know, said to me on many occasions since then how much that particular time meant to him, that I was supportive and encouraging and built him up in his faith. So,
I mean, there are times that our husbands come in and, you know, they've made a mistake. And that mistake, yeah, it could be at work, it could be anywhere, and that mistake has created a situation that can be detrimental to our marriage or detrimental to our... And for some reason, finances are coming to my heart. So I don't know if maybe someone's struggling in their finances and the husband has made a decision that has put a stronghold financially on the family and on the marriage. You know, even in that situation, there's wives that would be angry. And, you know, you have a right to be angry. We're not negating that at all. But God still wants you to be that safe place to land for your husband. He should be able, God wants him to be able to come to you through your salvation, come to you and share that situation with you and make it a place, and you be that place where, though you may be frustrated, you offer forgiveness. And what happens is you open up everything to God. You're allowing God to do exactly what he wants to do, and you are no longer the Holy Spirit. You choose not to chastise him, not to get angry with him, so you can share how you feel about it, giving him that safe place to land, and he's going to begin to trust you. That doesn't, ladies, that does not mean that that's giving him permission to continue to make mistakes, okay? And if Satan is speaking that into your thoughts right now, rebuke that in Jesus' name. That is not what that means. It means that though he has made a mistake, yes, you both acknowledge the mistake was made, but you become that safe place to land because you give him forgiveness. And the cool thing about this is, the reason that God said this to me was because when Bill asked me, for those of you who are new to the show, many years ago, my husband asked me for a divorce not too long after I came to salvation because I was changing so drastically. He thought he was losing me to God, and he didn't want to do that. And so that started me on this journey to fight for my marriage. As I'm fighting for my marriage, I'm learning that I have to be a safe place to land for Bill because that's exactly how God said it to me, Sheree. I need you to learn to be a safe place to land. Bill has got to have a safe place to land. And let me tell you, if he finds it in another woman and she becomes that safe place to land, there is a soul tie that can be created within that situation, and you do not want that.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Oh, Rebecca, we've got someone in the queue.
Yes, I know who it is. It's our wistful friend.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? I finally thought of something to ask about.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
We're talking about being our husband's safe place to land, and Steve and I have a really great relationship with regard to that. We both feel very much that way, that we are each other's safe haven, and I love that about. We've been married 32 years, and it's just
woo!
Awesome to feel that way about each other. He's my very best friend. I'm his very best friend, and so we have that. It's just, we love that relationship. But Steve has always, from day one, been very, very hard on himself. He's just, maybe that's one of the reasons why it's never occurred to me to be hard on him. Very mean, unless I'm really hormonal and can't, like, control it for a minute. But he is so, like, he's so critical of himself as far as not anything that gets messed up or whatever. He blames himself, and, you know, so that's mm-hmm. it's really difficult to deal with. So my question, I guess, or, you know, something to put out there to discuss or would be, what do you do when you do have that relationship, and it's awesome, but you're dealing with a husband who is very quick to blame himself, to take all that responsibility on himself, and it hurts. It hurts me to see him beat himself up like that, and it makes me, like, not want to ever. It's like I don't want to see those situations come around, or I always kind of it gives me double dread. And you were talking about finances. That's one of the things we've struggled with, you know, kind of over the years, and that's one of the things where, and he works so hard, and I think that's the thing that bothers me the most is, you know, he works so hard, every hour they'll give him, you know, he works hard where, you know, at what he does, and he's diligent, and they love him at his work, and so there isn't really a lot that he could do, but he still takes it upon himself, well, I should be able to fix it, well, I should be able to do more, you know, and that kind of thing. So just maybe ways to encourage a husband who is like that.
I think, Lisa, what's coming to my heart right off the bat is encouraging him to turn back to God.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because our husbands want to fix everything, like he says, and they forget. At least I know I've seen Bill do this. He will try so hard. He's pacing the house because he's trying to fix it. And we have a situation right now where he's doing that. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, "Sure, remind him to turn to me. I want to fix it. I will fix it." So we have sinned. Now, he hasn't. Our situation isn't that he has sinned, but in the situations where they have sinned and the sin has caused the issue, you know, we still need to encourage them. Another, a part of being that safe place to land is reminding them gently to turn to God. And if it takes you doing it with him and you guys praying together to encourage him, you know, because he could just be facing the fact that he doesn't want to, he's not ready to face God yet. With whatever the situation is. I don't know the situation. I'm just trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and speak, you know, what he's showing me.
Yeah.
But if we can put their thoughts, put their focus back on Jesus and talk to the Lord about it and let God reveal to them what the answer is, then they won't make the mistake. Does that make sense? They'll have the right answer, and then they just need courage to walk it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Sheree, I was going to say the same thing. You know, we walked through a season of our lives where, you know, financially we were not living in abundance. And we were having to trust the Lord for everything, for all of the bills to be paid, for there to be food on the table. And one of the verses that he kept leading me back to, because that was a really hard time for Robert. He was laid off the month before the 9/11 attack. And he was unemployed for 11 months. And that was such a hard thing. Despite all of his efforts, he couldn't get a job. And so we really stood on Philippians 4:19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Not just our financial needs, but our emotional needs as well. That Robert you know, I had to keep encouraging him, and I had to remind myself that God's in control of this. God's got a plan, and he's working out his purposes in us as we walk through it, and that he's ultimately responsible, and he's going to use the husband as an instrument or as a vessel to bring that provision. But just like the pipe isn't responsible for getting the water, you know, for creating the water, it's just it's just responsible for holding it so it gets delivered to the right place. That's the husband's job, and that seemed to bring a lot of comfort to Robert at that time, and it built our faith. But suffering, as we've been talking about in 1 Peter so much in past weeks, it's hard. Suffering financially, especially, is hard.
Oh. Amen.
Does that help, Lisa?
Pardon me?
Does that help?
Yes, it does. I really appreciate it. And, you know, just a reminder of the, you know, as far as insight goes, to where, you know, we just want to see our husbands deeply happy. You know, we want to see them.
Right.
It fulfilled in their role, and knowing that they're in the zone, because, you know, Steve is so in the groove with God, and with I think he's just so dedicated to family that it tears him up that when there's any kind of want or any kind of unmet need or anything like that, and he automatically takes that on himself. And I think, you know, that is a very it's a good trait to have, so I would much rather him be like that than to be, you know, irresponsible, not care. I am grateful for that, and I try very hard not to take that for granted ever. But I really appreciate you, you know, your input, and I'll let you go on to another caller, but it was great talking to you.
Thanks for calling, Lisa.
Okay,
thank you.
All righty.
That was good. I mean, we are challenged. I keep thinking of challenged, and we are challenged as we go through, you know, just daily life and marriage. Rebecca, you want to go on to number two?
Yes. So number two, when you are wrong in the situation, always be quick to admit it and ask for forgiveness.
Wow.
Always.
This one gets us. Well, mostly me, because I always thought, you know, I had to fight for what I thought was right, not realizing that my thought process, everything that came together from the time I was a child to an adult, those were the things that I was basing my right answer on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if someone has hurt me, I was basing, my answers were coming from where I was at, where I was sitting at that moment. And Bill would look at me like I was crazy, you know, and his head would kind of cock to the left, and he's like, really? Are you actually saying that to me? Because I was fighting. I was fighting to be right, and I really had to learn that I was wrong. And when I was wrong, I needed to go quickly to him, and I did learn to do that. But for some wives, it's really hard, Rebecca. When you actually recognize, oh, my gosh, I was so wrong in this situation.
Yes. You know, I was just talking with a wife recently, and she was describing a situation to me where she felt like she had been obedient to the Lord, and she had done what the Lord had asked her to do, and she was ministering to some other people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was really, she was trying to be used by the Lord to bless some other people. And then, you know, her husband just didn't appreciate it one little bit. And, you know, we talked about it at length about, you know, well, you know, I think I'm being obedient and think I'm doing the right thing. And then, you know, he's unhappy. And so what do I do? Because his response, you know, really hurt her. And, you know, what I said to her is, you know, ultimately, your first ministry is to your husband, you know, and if there's a way that he, you know, feels like you're not taking care of him, you really need to listen. And, of course, that wasn't her heart to not take care of him, but that's how I felt. And she needed to take some responsibility for that and humble herself. And even though she may have been being perfectly obedient to the Lord, there were consequences for that. And it was just, it's an area where they could work together to grow. And and so I encouraged her to just go to him and apologize. And she was a little surprised by that. But, you know, when you humble yourself before the Lord and you humble yourself before your husband, it really allows room in that circumstance for God to get in there and do things. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 says this in verse 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And when you humble yourself before your husband and you apologize for something that you didn't, you know, you don't think you did like something wrong that was a sin, but it impacted him. When you apologize and you see the circumstance through his eyes, you're being, what those verses say, humble and gentle, you're bearing with him in love, and you're keeping the unity of the Spirit. And that is vital in marriage, because we can get so focused on only looking at things through our own eyes, or at least I can at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we do that, we're missing out on opportunity to deepen our connection with our husbands. You know, if we won't, you know, get out of our shoes and get into theirs for a minute and look at the circumstances from their perspective and what's really going on with them. You know, if your husband has reacted in maybe a stronger way than you anticipate, you know, what's going on in him? It may not really be the circumstances. It may be just an internal thing. And if you get angry or defensive, you can miss an opportunity to be used by God to bring some healing and some hope and some encouragement to his heart.
Well, we have a caller waiting.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that's Deborah Sewell.
This is Deborah Sewell.
Hey, Deborah.
Good morning, Deborah.
How are you? It's so good to hear your voices again today.
Yes.
It's good to hear yours. We just always
love talking to you,
Deborah.
Thanks.
So.
Well, Deborah, what's on your heart this morning?
Well, I think I would just continue a couple of minutes on what you were just talking about. Steve and I have found humility to be the greatest character to pursue. We both reread Humility by Andrew Murray regularly. In fact, we're probably due for another bout. But we have found that in the Christian walk, humility and prayer to be the number one character to practice to put into our marriage and our Christian walk. And also, I was thinking, we had a conversation recently about expectations. And I would think to any wife, any young girl, I can remember having so many conversations with girls about how they were going to have this white picket fence and two children, a girl and a boy, and where they were going to live. And laughing at that and saying, you know, I would tell anybody, just throw those expectations out the window, come before God and say, okay, what do you have for me? And tell them, your husband is not going to be like your daddy. He is not going to be like your pastor. He is not going to be like your brother. You don't know what he's going to be like. And just to go before the Lord and then, Lord, how do I respect this man? How do I love this man? How do I, how can I be a good wife to this man that you gave me? And if we go from there, and like exercise, it needs to be applied daily. So we may think we have these practices down or these principles down, and I'm not, you know, a young girl, and but every day has its new challenges. It doesn't matter how long we've been married. It doesn't matter what's going on or how mature we think we are. We need to apply these principles fresh every day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Deborah, it's interesting that you say that because I wrote in my notes during the conference this weekend almost those exact words. I asked God, because I write my prayers down a lot, so I don't forget them. And I asked God, I said, Lord, how can I love Bill the way you've designed me to? What can I ask him that I can do around the house that will help him feel like, you know, I mean, I do a lot around our home anyway. I cook our meals, I clean, I do the things that the wife is supposed to do, but sometimes I feel like it's not enough, or maybe I could focus on one thing when he really wanted my focus on something else. And so I asked him that exact question, Lord, how can I love him the way you've designed me to? What can I, you know, what can I do to help him? And I love that you said that, because the thought that hit my heart was, I'm not the only one asking this question. So if you and I are asking this question, I'm sure others are as well.
Yeah.
Yes, because we, as you just said before, we will do things from our own perspective, and that's where, you know, we might think our husband likes it the same way our daddy did, you know, or our brothers did, you know. So if we can go about those things and not really be doing it in a way that our husband would appreciate it. So we need to ask those questions, and sometimes they won't tell us, you know, they don't want to hurt our feelings, so... Is this the way you like your mashed potatoes? You know, can I be doing it a different way? Or maybe they don't even like mashed potatoes. You know, and I know with Steve, I mean, this is funny. And he's right here. He can hear me. But I remember one time, and I hope it's okay I share this, about the lotion. But he said to me, he said, if you get all dolled up, we'll, you know, we'll go on a special date or something. And I said to him, well, what does that mean? Do you want me to put on makeup and a special dress? And he said, put on lots of lotion. And I was hysterical. But this is my Steve. This is my love.
Yeah.
He likes me with a lot of lotion on. So when before we go out or before we do something, I have to make sure that I don't have dry skin. And... You know, every man is different. This is
That's
what I'm
right.
saying. Every one of our men have a certain bent, just like our children do.
Yeah.
And we need to learn their love language and learn how to love them.
Amen.
Amen. Rebecca, Deborah, one of our wives said in the chat room, having a husband who is not a believer, I need to ask that more often than I do, especially how God designed him. I love that. I read that, and it just exploded in my spirit, because this is an area that I tend to have to focus on more than the other areas, because my local group, I have wives that don't have a husband who is saved, and they're getting it wrong, just like I did in the beginning. I thought that I was supposed to pull Bill kicking and screaming to the altar, because I basically did, you know. And that's not the way God's designed it. That's not what he wants. He wants us to win them without words and without kicking and screaming, you know, without all of that. And I love that she's recognized that. She needs to ask God more often, because if she loves her husband the way God's designed her to, a part of that design is his salvation. He will come to salvation. We have to remember we can't treat him as the same way we would if they were saved. We have to remember, because they're not saved yet, we still need to love them the exact same way. And but I know for me, I didn't. Well, I mean, I still loved him, but I definitely treated him different because I didn't know not to.
Yeah.
I was completely confused about that whole area.
Well, and if you think about it, Sheree, treating an unbelieving husband as if he's already a believer is really faith, right? Calling those things that are not as though they were, right? Putting your actions to your faith. That is so important.
And that goes along with that principle of being one without a word.
Yes.
Because we'll win them through action. We'll win them through humble, submissive love.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine living with a wife who is saved and not have that conviction, you know, come upon them? Because that was one of the ways that the Lord got a hold of Bill. He was so convicted because of the changes that I was making, and I wasn't making them on purpose. These were natural changes. Some of them were things that God literally went inside of me and said, listen, we're not doing this, we're not doing this, and we're no longer doing this. You know, he just kind of cleaned house a little bit. But Bill came under such great conviction through my life that God used that to bring him to salvation. But if I had wavered in those areas, I wonder what could have happened. If I had not lived for him, if I had not given my life totally to him, and I had not laid down the things he asked me to lay down, what would have been different with Bill? He would have thought, well, salvation, you know, you're not really any different from me, so why do I need it? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I also couldn't throw it in his face, and I did in the beginning because I didn't understand not to.
Well, that's so true, too, that we have not been, most of us have not been trained with these principles, so we have to realize that our initial reaction will probably not be what the Lord wants us to do, and how we think is probably not the way the Lord wants us to think. Being natural is not the same thing as being spiritual. Being spiritual is that growing away of the natural and that stepping up to be Christ-like.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah, for hanging out with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a joy. Love you.
Love you too, Deborah.
Love you too.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Shall we go on to number three?
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, never underestimate the power you have in your prayers. You have entered a covenant with God in your marriage, and he hears your prayers.
Yes, he hears your prayers. We love to talk here at The Imperfect Wives about being one flesh. And the thing about being one flesh is whether both are saved or not, we're still one flesh because we've come together in marriage, in a holy union. And God, he speaks to us. And if one of us makes a mistake, it affects the other. We may think it doesn't, but it does. And if one of us does something, you know, that just brings so much joy, well, that one, of course, affects the other. We catch that one pretty quickly, don't we, Rebecca?
Right.
But we'll miss the other side of it sometimes. And again, I'm talking from my own experience. We'll miss the other side, and I'll make a mistake. I made a huge mistake in our marriage. When we were first married, even I was saved, and I still made this huge mistake, and it had to do with our finances. And I almost cost Bill his good credit because somehow, while he was deployed, I somehow succumbed to a spirit of fear over our finances, and I was scared to death to pay the bills. That makes no sense at all. It makes none. I totally get that. But I was so scared to pay our bills. I would wait until the very last time, and then I would pay them. And it was causing issues in our finances. And because Bill was on deployment at that time, internet wasn't readily available like it is today for our sailors and our Marines and for all of our military. And so he wasn't able to check out our credit card balance. He wasn't able to get online and look at everything. And he trusted me because I was on board with him 100% from the time we got married up until that point. It took me 2 years to overcome this, and it took God to help me break free of it. I can't tell you exactly when it happened, how it happened, or why it happened. I just know that it did. And it took a whole lot of prayer. It took a whole lot of prayer. And Bill became that safe place for me to land. And I went to him, and I confessed where I was wrong in the situation, and he gave me forgiveness freely. I thought he was going to leave me because he told me I will divorce you over my finances. He said, my finances, not ours, his. And when you're in the military, Rebecca, you know this, if your finances, if you have bad credit, that affects you in the military. Because it deletes you from the ability to take positions that are higher paying positions.
Right.
That's one of the areas that it hurts you. And but Bill, he forgave me, and I learned, but I prayed. I went to God, and I covered it in prayer. You know, you'll cover things in prayer in a heartbeat when you're in trouble. We tend to do it really good when we're in trouble. And I did, and I learned the power of prayer. And I realized from that situation that God can turn Bill's heart. He may think one thing, but God will turn his heart in my favor, even if I'm wrong, because of his love for me and because I've prayed and I've trusted God with it. But I also learned that I have to trust Bill as well. And as I prayed, Bill and I now pray together, and we see the wealth of what happens as we come together, you know, with one heart, one flesh, and we pray. Focusing on him, that's the point. We've got to focus on God as we pray. And if God gives us that answer, we both have to walk it out together, not separately.
That's right. Together, one flesh.
Together. You don't have anything to add, Rebecca?
You know, I was just looking at that scripture, it's in Mark chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, really the context of that is the Pharisees were asking Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus responds with, you know, what did Moses command you to do? And they said, well, Moses permitted a certificate of divorce and, you know, allowed men to do that and send wives away. And Jesus, you know, tells them, well, it's because your hearts were hard,
right,
that Moses provided that, wrote that law. But he points them back to Adam and Eve. And he says, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. And, you know, of course, that context is divorce. But how many times have we tried in our own subtle ways to separate from our spouse, maybe emotionally, to draw apart because what they're doing hurts us. A circumstance that we're facing together is painful, and we want to separate and pull away so that we don't have to hurt so much. We don't have to deal with it in such an intense way. And we need to be mindful of that. I mean, maybe this is fresh on my mind because the Lord's been talking to me about that, that there are things that I keep to myself that I don't share with Robert. And they're not bad things, just things that, you know, I don't talk about with him. And the Lord's been telling me, you need to share more. You need to share more of your heart and what I'm doing in your heart and the things that I'm telling you, in, you know, with him, because he needs to know, because he doesn't know. He can't read your mind. He can't know what you're thinking. And if you don't say it to him, then how is he going to ever know? And that there, you know, the Lord's been saying to me that that's a separation, and that is a pulling away from that one flesh relationship. And I didn't even know it. That wasn't my heart. That wasn't something I was desiring to do, but I was just, we could be closer, and some of it's me, and I've got to fix that. I've got to submit myself to be obedient to the Lord and start sharing with him more. And, you know, it makes me vulnerable. You know, well, what if he doesn't respond the way I want him to respond? What if he isn't as excited as I am about whatever it is I'm sharing? Or what if I tell him someplace where I'm hurting and he isn't as compassionate as I think he should be? You know, it's a protective measure. But if I don't do that, then I'm really not trusting the Lord, and I'm not being obedient to what the Lord has called me to do. And so I can do what number three says and not underestimate the power that I have in prayer, that I can pray for Robert to be receptive in the ways that I need him to be, that God.
You know, sometimes as we get into prayer, we learn God changes our heart, and it'll change our focus. And we think, and then for me, I'll think that I'll go one direction. And I love what Renee said, because it really resonated in my heart. She said, you know, God wanted her to go to Argentina, and some friends of hers, missionaries, had asked her, would you please go consider going to Argentina? And she said no, because that's not where she wanted to be. She wanted to be in China. I can't remember. She's an overseas missionary. And they asked her like three times, and then she finally said, okay, I'll go. So they sent her for a few days just so she could kind of get her feet wet and see if that was something she wanted to do. Well, when she got there, she kept praying and praying, and she was like getting so confused because she wasn't getting an answer. And then she said, the reason I wasn't getting an answer was because I didn't want to hear God saying no. And he had been, yes, and he had been saying yes all along. She was wanting to hear the answer, no. So that meant she could go to where she actually wanted to go. But since she's been in Argentina, she's realized, as God has revealed to her, why he wanted her there, and she doesn't want to be anywhere else. You know, she wants to be right where he placed her. I know for me, that resonated with me because, Rebecca, in my prayer time, sometimes I have a focus that's wrong.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and I'm constantly, Lord, you know, please. And I'm looking for scriptures to confirm it, and I can't find them. And, you know, God kind of, he tickled me one day because he's like, Sheree, no matter where you look in the Bible, I'm going to be there. So stop trying to find your answer. You know, so I would get to a scripture, and it would confirm what God was saying, but not confirm what I was wanting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I would go back and, you know, I'd flip through some more and I'd go to one of the Gospels. And of course, every single time I would land on a verse that would confirm what God was saying. But because it wasn't confirming what I wanted to hear, then I would just walk, oh, that's not the right scripture. Why can't I find the right scripture? Why are none of these speaking to me? And it's kind of funny because they were. But I didn't want to hear what God was saying.
Right.
And that, you know, that's impacted my marriage. Negative.
You know, the visual I have is, you know, a little kid sticking his fingers in his ears going, la, 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 I can't hear
la,
you.
La, 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 la. Yeah. And we do do that. We do. I love that. You know, we do do that. But once we finally get it, Rebecca and listeners, once we finally get it, then, and sometimes it's because God's asking us to do something we just don't want to do, or we feel like we're not ready to do yet. Sometimes it's a confession. Sometimes, you know, if we can just trust God. And I've learned with my own self, if I'm not able to do what God's asking me to do, it's because I'm not trusting him.
Right.
And when you come from a tough background, a tough childhood, and you didn't have men in your life that were teaching you who God is, his love, his gentleness, you know, then it's really hard to trust him. It's hard to trust any man. And that was the background I was coming from. So I didn't want to trust God because I didn't know how. But I've learned that I can, and I do now. Oh, I trust him. I trust him. When he tells me something, I'm like, yes, sir, because I've learned. And we pray that encourages you this morning as you're listening and those of you in the chat room. I'm looking at our time. We have a little over 2 minutes left to go, Rebecca, and we only got through three.
Well, we knew that was going to happen. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Can I just say something? If you are listening to us and you have not connected with us on Facebook, we have Imperfect Wives fan page. We have Imperfect Wives radio fan page. We have the Imperfect Wives Club, which is a closed group that you can request to join, and we will add you, and you can be part of the community that God has created there for us on Facebook, where we can share our challenges, our struggles, our prayer requests, the victories that God has given us, and we can just kind of hang out and be girlfriends together there. You can join us on the blog and follow and get it sent to your email so you don't have to go to it specifically every single day, have it sent to your email. We want to hear from you. We want to connect with you personally because that is how God works. He works person to person, and we don't want you to be anonymous. A lot of you are anonymous right now. You're listening, but you're not letting us know who you are. And we're not going to embarrass you, but we want to know you. Right, Sheree?
Yes. Yes, we do. We truly want to know you. And we are learning about so many of you. And we thank you for listening every week. We're excited to have you. And next week we're going to do this again. We're going to maybe finish the 10. Maybe not.
No.
But if you'd like to call in next week and you have a question or you have a concern or something, I mean, we don't know all the answers, but we will definitely share with you as the Holy Spirit leads us. and, you know, and share with you what we've learned. And call in next week. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we close out this show today, we pray, God, that the words that we've shared will bless, Lord, those who are listening, God. We ask you, Lord, to do correction where it's needed, God, to bring strength and encouragement, Lord, where it's needed. And, Lord, we just pray that these lives, God, will send their hearts to you and hear your voice and respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bye, ladies. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Love you guys.